Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Hall. Mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
There's a storm in the Atlantic. Hurricane, whatever you want to call it. When's it going to hit landfall? You know, it's coming. It's third quarter, middle of the third. It's getting late third. They're up 10. It's got to happen sometime. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy right now. Yeah.
It's a good answer.
It is. And what's got to happen is, you know, being in Miami for 6 years, when them storms start coming off the coast of Africa and then they're coming through the Atlantic and they start coming up, what happens is if you get a nor'easter, right, you get a storm up top, who's in here had done weather before? Huh? You know some weather people, Calabro. Who was it? Who's the best dude down there doing weather or dudette?
What? Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. Now I'm rethinking Chuck Pagano as the defense court. No. Let's get out to Bob Kravitz. He now with the Athletic, he's been with everyone. He's done everything, and he's seen it all. And Bob,
and I used to do the weather too. I remember that press conference. You know, my favorite Chuck was though. He was clearly he was going to get fired, and he says, "Hey, look, they can fire you, but they can't eat you."
Wow. Morning, Bob. You know, so
good morning.
Chuck Pagano was a guy who, you know, made Bears fans feel a little better about losing Vic Fangio. Obviously, the results will have to, you know, convince them further. But from a personality standpoint, that clip just made him sound a little bit more out there than is he the guy who's out there? What's he like to deal with on a daily basis?
Oh, he's great. I mean, you know, look, as a head coach, I thought he was just the dime a dozen. As a coordinator, I think he's very good. You know, I think he'll do a really fine job. I was joking with him on text the other day. I said, it's too bad you're going to Chicago where they don't have any talent, just like Baltimore. you know, when they had Ray Lewis and Terrell Suggs, you know, I think screw that up. But, he's a little flaky, you know, but, you know, you get in front of the media every single day and you get asked the same question every, you know, and I think he would just sit around and try to think of interesting ways to answer stuff. So, yeah, he's a little goofy, but it's a good goofy. You know, he's a guy. He's very personable. He's the players love him. So I think he'll do a fine job in Chicago.
You know, it's interesting, Bob, because we all know the last time the Bears one of the openings they had, Bruce Arians, of course, came in here and interviewed, and they chose to hire Mark Trestman over him, and Arians was Coach of the Year. Yeah, he might still be here. Arians Coach of the Year that year after taking Chuck's spot, and Chuck, we know about the illness and the comeback. You know, it's an unbelievably inspiring story, and you lived through that.
I did.
And how does that change the way you view the man, and how does that change the way that he operates in the world?
Well, you know, look, he's always been a person of some faith. I think it's increased. And, you know, look, anybody who's been in a near-death situation has a newfound perspective, and I think that's Chuck, you know, and I think that's why when, you know, there are rumors of his demise, and there were for three straight years here in Indianapolis because he had such a bad relationship with Ryan Grigson, the GM at the time. You know, I just think, again, he's got a perspective. He's got an ability to cut through what's important and what's not important. And I'm telling you, players love him. Players love him. You know, there were some guys in that Colts locker room who didn't think he was a great coach. But I think if you know, there are just some guys like Wade Phillips, for example, who I covered in Denver, was not a head coach. But damn, he was a great coordinator. You know, you give him a smaller amount of guys, and the guys who are going to benefit the most, I think, are the guys in the secondary. Because Chuck was a safety at Wyoming.
Right.
I used to joke with him that it was kind of the Harvard of the Rockies. or the Harvard of Wyoming, actually.
Yeah.
He's done really good work with, you know, like Ed Reed. You talk to the guys from Miami, they'll tell you how much they learn from Chuck. So I think your secondary will benefit from his tutelage.
Does his perspective, I guess, reduce the amount of ego he'll bring to any job? Because, you know, a guy coming in, some coaches may feel like, all right, I have to put my stamp on this, whether it's scheme, whether it's through the approach. And I guess you do expect Pagano maybe to be a little bit more aggressive just based on his track record. But is he someone that's going to come in and take this job and say, okay, I'm the defensive coordinator of the Bears, Chicago Bears right now, and you're going to know that this is my defense? Or is he just going to let the talent take over?
I think he's going to let the talent take over. And, you know, I know that, you know, he wants to do things a little bit differently the second time. You know, how specifically that's going to manifest itself, I'm not really sure. But, you know, I like coaches who've made mistakes. You know, that's why, I mean, I was actually in favor of McDaniels here in Indianapolis, because he did screw up in Denver. And I like guys who've been through the process. And I think Chuck, you know, he did run the defense in Baltimore for a year or two. He was here in Indianapolis for 6 years. So I think you're getting a guy at that time of life where, you know, he's not necessarily looking to put his stamp on things. I think he'd be perfectly content to be a defensive coordinator. I think if a head coaching job did open up, he'd certainly be interested. But I think he's going to say, hey, Khalil, go get the quarterback. You know, look, you got a lot of talent over there in Chicago, and I think he's smart enough to understand that his job is to not screw it up.
Put on your Denver hat. What do you think of Vic Fangio going out there, and what's going on with that team?
Boy, that's a hard one to fit. I mean, I see Fangio and I see Zimmer in Minnesota, a long time crusty defensive coach. All I know is, and I'm getting sick of, if you had a cup of coffee with Sean McVay, you'd become a head coaching candidate, right? But you look at the Final Four, and they're the top four offenses in the league. And I realize you got to play defense at some point, but, you know, your team is staying home right now. We won't mention why, but, you know, the Bears are more of a team built on defense. In this league today, you got to be able to put up crazy numbers. You got to be able to throw the ball. So, it depends on who you surround Vic Fangio with. And right now it sounds like the Gary Kubiak thing's not going to happen. So he's going to have to surround himself with a really good offensive coach.
You know, Bob, trying to connect the dots here, and we'll hear from the Bears later today, but, you know, Chris Ballard was a general manager at the Colts, and he worked with Matt Nagy in Kansas City. They were very good friends and remained very close. Chuck Pagano got fired by Chris Ballard after one season, but from all accounts, it seems as if they parted pretty amicably. Do you believe that that was a good relationship, and could that have, you know, that endorsement have carried, gone a long way with Matt Nagy?
You know, I don't know for sure, but I got to think so. And there might be other connections that we're not aware of. But, you know, I think Chuck understood that he had kind of run his course, you know, after 6 years. Chris Ballard, Chris gave Chuck 1 year, kind of a prove it year. And then, of course, Andrew is out the whole year. So what are you going to do? You know, they go 4-12. I think they had a good relationship, and I have very little doubt that that Chris Ballard put in a good word with the Chicago people.
What tell us about Chuck's scheme? What exactly? I mean, we know where he's been. You mentioned the talent. I mean, good God, that's some great people to be around, and he certainly knows how to get the most out of talent. And you mentioned the secondary. He's done great with a lot of guys in that area. What about What will he do with a guy like Leonard Floyd, who Vic was dropping into coverage a little bit, using in different ways, had a player like him in San Francisco. How will he handle young players like that?
Well, you know, I'd be disingenuous if I told you I know exactly, because, you know, he was only the defensive coordinator in Baltimore for the 1 year. And, you know, I think that's correct.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
And you know, here in Indy, you know, one of the things that was so disappointing was they never built the defense.
Yeah.
You know, Chuck came in, they had shirts, build the monster, and there was no monster. You know, it just didn't exist. The defense was always bad during Chuck's tenure. Now, I think a lot of that was that you had a GM who did not have success drafting defensive players. I mean, Bjorn Werner comes to mind. 1 year they needed a defender really bad. They went out and got Philip Dorsett, who's now catching touchdown passes for the New England Patriots. So I don't know if they're going to, you know, do the zone blitz or whatever quite as much as Fangio. I know Fangio's kind of the father of it. And correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, Pagano will be 3-4. You know, he's going to bring pressure like he did in Baltimore. But as far as I'd be disingenuous if I went too deeply into the X's and O's, because frankly, I don't know. They were 3-4 here, but they never had anybody who could get home. So I don't know what the hell they were trying to do.
So, Bob, the Colts season ends and Adam Vinatieri misses the shortest field goal of his career. Does that mean that the Bears can expect him to be a free agent? Because they might be looking for a kicker.
They might be looking for a kicker, as a matter of fact. I just texted Vinny last night. I didn't hear back from him. I think he's going to come back. You know, you look at his year. He was at 87, 88%. He was still over his career numbers. I think, you know, one of the kicks, there was a bad hold. And I watched the replay. There was a bad hold, and I just don't think he wanted to hang anybody out to dry. When he talked to the media afterwards, he took complete ownership of those missed kicks. I think he comes back. I think, A, he doesn't want to go out with that as kind of the lasting memory. And B, he had a good season. He kicked, I think it was 88, 89, 90%, somewhere in there. He had a good season. So I don't think he's going to go out on that note. I think he's going to come back, and I think the Colts will probably embrace him. Bring him back with open arms.
Did we learn anything from these games? I mean, you know, other than you should be a number one seed if you want to win a Super Bowl. It's been going on for a while. A lot of people are talking about the change to offensive philosophy and how it comes home here. I just think that I don't know that we learned a ton.
No, you know, everybody says, well, top four offenses. And while that's true, and clearly the game has, you know, moved in that direction, I still think a dominant defense can win. You know, I still think the Bears are close. You know, I don't know how close the Colts are, but I think we tend to overreact, you know, based on 1 year. You know, I remember great defensive teams that won Super Bowls, you know, the Bears, the Ravens, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, when they beat a really good offensive team from Oakland with Rich Gannon. We overreact from year to year, saying it's a trend. You know, a trend to me is 3, 4, 5 years in a row. So I'm not sure that there's much we could deduce from what we're seeing this year.
Great stuff, Bob. Great catching up with you. Appreciate it,
pal. Thanks, Bob. Take care.
Hey, my pleasure, guys. Take care of yourselves.
That's Bob Kravitz working with The Athletic now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.